99, proceeded.
Redbird Sports Talk. Interviews and professional sports news all in one place.
Redbird's playing a lot on the outside. Open three for Poindexter. Got it.
The quarterback just couldn't figure out the passing game.
You're listening to Red Zone, only on 103.3 WZND. Blasting off in 3, 2, 1.
Happy Thursday, birds, and welcome to the latest edition of the Red Zone. Ben Hootie, Julian Voss, Joey LeMaster, bringing you yet another week of Redbird Sports Talk, National Sports Talk, and so much more. We have a loaded show today. We're going to start off, obviously, with the Illinois State Redbirds men's basketball team. But on top of that, we're going to recap the big game and really just put a bookend on the NFL season, as well as talk some NBA All-Star. We're going to do another draft. We enjoyed it so much last week that we're going to do it yet again. We'll tell you more about that in the bottom half of the hour. We're going to round the bases. We haven't rounded the bases in quite some time now, so we're going to go back to that. But, fellas, how are you feeling on this beautiful – actually, it's not very beautiful. It's horrible outside, it's so cold but out. On this Thursday night.
I mean, I feel good. Vibes are here. The weather sucks. I can't wait to move and graduate.
Yeah, the snow sucks outside. Chiefs lost, so I'm not that mad.
We'll talk more about that around 6:15 when we get back to the NFL and the big game. But we're going to start off here with Illinois State Redbirds men's basketball. Since the last time we've talked to you about this team, things are taking a turn once again. They were on a nice little three-game win streak in conference, got back to even in conference, and now two losses in a row to two of the top teams in the Valley, Northern Iowa and Drake. And I think we could probably start off, even though obviously recency, the game that happened last night, and Julian was on the call with us, but we'll start with this Northern Iowa game where it was just, I think, the easiest way to say it is, once again, disappointment to Northern Iowa. Joey, I mean, you can run with this one. I know you have plenty of thoughts.
Yeah, so it's not often me and Ben Hootie text each other during Redbirds basketball games, but this was one of them because the Redbirds led for 38 out of 40 minutes. They trailed the first minute. Or no, they led the first minute, then you and I took the lead in the second minute, and then the Redbirds led all the way until the final minute and lost the game. One of the takeaways, not just from this game, but throughout the season, is just the Redbirds can't finish games. Like, they lose on buzzer beaters, they lose when the game's close, and this was probably the most disappointing loss of the season, because you and I, they're like knocking on the door for the upper echelon of the Valley with Drake and Bradley. So if Illinois State beats them, it's just a huge statement, and they should have. I mean, you can't lead for 38 minutes and lose the game. That's just a disgrace to the sport of basketball.
I mean, they've had this problem for about, like, this whole entire year. You have a nice lead going on, but once a team applies a lot of pressure going on, then you're pretty much done with it. I don't understand, like, why they can't really keep leads around when it's been their same exact problem throughout the whole season. It's just like Peden needs to change something up with it.
Yeah, I don't know why I feel this way, but like, I'm more confident in the Redbirds when they're losing close rather than when they're winning close, because this team just struggles to finish games. And you can watch them play basketball. Like, it's not like this is a trash team. They're really good. They can make shots. Chase Walker can get to the rim. They can play solid defense. But when it just comes to losing those close games, that's just simply mentality. Like, you got to be able to be locked in for 40 minutes, especially if you want to start competing in Arch Madness.
It's absurd when you look at this schedule, specifically the conference schedule, and the fact that majority of their losses, besides last night against Drake and when they kicked off against Evansville to start Valley play, all of their losses are less than 4 points. Mm-hmm. Or five, excuse me. UIC was the first that kicked off Valley play for them. So every single one of their losses this season in the Valley, besides Drake last night and Evansville early on, have all been by less than 5 points. And that kind of goes back to, one, not being able to close games, and two, just kind of what you said. They're a tough team. They give every team in the Valley a problem. It's just they cannot execute when they need to the most.
Yeah, and when it comes to any sport, you don't want to be the gatekeeper. Like, if someone beating you makes them a better team or losing to them makes them a worse team, like, you can't be the gatekeeper. You want to be, as I said earlier, the upper echelon. You want to be able to compete in March, but just the Redbirds just have not been able to show that they can compete, because especially when it gets time for St. Louis, you need to be able to win close games. It's just the Redbirds have not been able to do that, and you and I was a clear example.
I mean, the close games just show that this team has a potential to be higher than what they are right now, but it all goes down to just, like, more than two guys really playing the game of basketball. We have Chase Walker and Johnny doing everything they really can out there most of the games. But then again, you don't have that third guy to also lead your team. You expect that to be, like, Dalton Banks and Jordan Davis. But at the same time, they have been struggling a little bit as of late too. So they need one more guy, I feel, just to finally step up with this team.
And Julian, not to transition to the Drake game, but since you watched it yesterday, I think you'll be able to understand this a little bit more. It just has to be Jack Daugherty. It just has to be because he's just such a spark plug off the bench. They'll only play him like 10 minutes. Then he'll make two threes and suddenly the Redbirds are back in the game. Because like if we look at yesterday's game, I know the score's kind of close, 77-84. It was not that close. That was garbage time points. But they sparked a little bit of a comeback in the last 4 minutes. And that's when Jack comes in, hits two threes, and suddenly they're back in the game. I think I have a lot of respect for Coach Peden. If you go around the office, everyone will tell you how much I love Coach Peden. But his unwillingness to play Jack just confuses me so much. Like, I don't think he's like a great defender, but I don't think he's a liability. He's 6'8". He hustles for rebounds, whether it's offensive or defensive. And the guy, like, I'm going to say a statement here. Maybe it's a little crazy. He's one of the best three-point shooters in the country. It's incredible what he can do at the clip he has. He's efficient, and he just makes them with such confidence from ridiculous range. When you have a player like that, like, I get he's a freshman, you want to play your upperclassman, but when you have a talent like that, you have to utilize him. I don't care what your system, what your plan is, you have to play Jack Daugherty.
I think that he's the most confident shooter on this team, but with that, there's no reason why that you should not allow somebody to sit on the bench like that, too. He had two big threes with his team. He missed a free throw when he had the three-point. It was a four-point play on that play, but he missed a free throw. But still with that, he's the only guy on that team that made back-to-back three-pointers. And Dalton Banks, Jordan Davis, they were just missing all night. But you still decide to take him out the game and put those two back in. I don't understand that.
Yeah, and it's 2025. The transfer portal is a massive issue. Like, when you're a player like Jack, you know how confident you are and how good you could be. Why would you not transfer away this offseason? Like, it's not something I want to manifest because I love Jack so much. He's a brilliant player. But if you know how good you are and you're not going to play, I promise you, especially in 2025 with how critical three-point shooting is, there is going to be someone that will be willing to pay Jack a good amount of money.
And you know he's good when he's getting national attention, too. Like, he was on a college basketball page, like, maybe 2 weeks ago, Instagram page, and it blew up with him just talking about his three-point percentage. And they even said in the comments, like, oh, he's not getting as much run as people expected to. And, yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I couldn't agree with you guys anymore. I think that's a player that just needs to play, especially as we're starting to get to the bookend of this season. And you got to figure out what you have for next year. Not saying that this season is a complete wash, but, you know, you're negative in conference right now. And kind of just what they did with Johnny last year. Like, Johnny played a little bit in the front half of conference play, but completely took over in the back end. And for Jack, it's like a whole different kind of player because of the fact that he is so tall. He makes more threes than just about anyone in the country when he's playing. And yeah, I just don't understand it.
And that was exactly what I was going to say. As you look at Johnny last year, where he didn't play a lot, but then he has his breakout game against nationally ranked Indiana State and just puts on a show, scoring 31 points. That was the exact scenario for Jack last night. That could have been it. You're going against a team that's now 23-2, has two Q1 wins as a team in the Valley. Like, that's ridiculous. That was your moment to pull off the upset, and that could have been Jack's the Prince becoming the King moment, but we just didn't give him the burn.
I think the whole first half, this team played pretty much as well as you could against a team like Drake. They were making their three-point attempts, but the only thing that really messed them up throughout the whole entire game really was the free throw attempts, but Drake's not really a team that's going to score a whole bunch of points on you. They're more of a defensive team. But when you play them last night and you give up 84 points to a team that also has their bench guys just full-on dominating too, but Mascari made two logo threes, like that's just going to happen every once in a while. Those are just two tough shots you can't really do anything about. But other than that, you have other guys that are just totally dominating as role players. If those guys are going to dominate, then you need your role players to dominate as well.
But I think it was most impressive yesterday, and we're obviously going to see Bradley in person this upcoming week. But Drake is just on a whole different playing field than Illinois State is. And I mean, Joe, you were talking about it earlier with me, and you kind of alluded to it a little bit there. But really, no matter what happens with Drake, they're making a really nice bid to get a auto bid, no matter what ends up happening from here on out.
Yeah, it's crazy. I know we've been waiting so long for this moment. I can't recall the last time it happened, but the Missouri Valley Conference can't get two teams in March. Yeah, it should have happened last year. I mean, it was kind of ridiculous, but, you know, politics get the big name teams and whatever.
So let's move forward, look at the rest of this schedule. They got Indiana State this upcoming weekend, a team that they beat at SFQ a little bit ago. And then next Wednesday, we'll obviously break it down when we're on the Red Zone next week. But we have Bradley coming to SFQ, trying to get that first one out of the way finally. It feels like we've been saying this forever, but they just need Coach Pia needs a win against Bradley.
That's probably the biggest game they're going to have all season right now. Just because, yes, the Drake game was a big game, but not really as expected of a win. When you're facing a team that's as big of a rival as Bradley coming into your own stadium, that's a statement when you got to win before the tournament.
Yeah, and I think there is a ridiculous amount of pressure on Coach Pete in here because you look at Drake, for example, he's never beaten Drake. And it's the same for Bradley. He's never beaten them. They're on a six-game losing streak. And a little bit of history for you guys is the Redbirds' longest losing streak against Bradley is 7 games. If Peden loses this game, he's going to tie the longest losing streak. And I think that's just a knock on your resume you cannot afford to have.
And that's the biggest thing when you come here, especially, I feel like he's said it multiple times, like, you have to beat Bradley. You got to beat Bradley, and we need that to happen.
Yeah, it's just so similar to the Ohio State-Michigan rivalry in football. Like, my grandpa, he's a big Ohio State fan. He's still, like, we were having a conversation last week, and when I went home, he's like, yeah, I'm still wondering if I would trade the national championship for that Michigan win. It's just, that's how much rivalries mean, and Coach Peden has to know how much the I-74 battle means to Bloomington Normal. It's just, you need this win, and even if the Redbirds don't have a lot of success at Arch Madness, if you can get this victory over Bradley, I think the vibes of the season just switch overnight.
Yeah, I feel like exactly like that. It's more of a confidence booster than anything else. Around this time, with about 5 or so games left, you kind of know a little bit where your season is about to be heading. But if you beat a team like Bradley, that's going to full-on change the whole confidence of the team.
And one of the biggest takeaways from all sports is you need to peak at the right time of the season. If you win a lot early and then start going downhill towards the end of the season, you tend not to perform well in the playoffs. If you get a win against Bradley, there's 3 games left in the season, and the Redbirds have the opportunity to peak at the right time of the season. Is it unfortunate they're likely to play on Thursday and not get the bye? Absolutely. But if you can get red hot heading into the biggest games of the season, I think that would just be tremendous for the Redbirds.
I did want to mention that really quick, because when you look at the Valley, it is, you know, Drake, Bradley, you and I, they seem like they already have those byes locked up. But you have Illinois State. Belmont's at 9-6 right now. They're the current 4 seed. But then you have Illinois State at 7-8 with a bunch of other teams that are 7-8. If you could go on a nice run here, you can very well be playing on Friday if you really wanted to.
Yeah, and first off, we already beat Belmont, so I know that's a team we can get over. Belmont allowed Valparaiso to score 101 points yesterday.
What?
That's insane. 101 points to Valparaiso. Like, I get your style of plays. We're going to outscore you. But the Beacons can never drop triple digits on you. So Belmont's a team I'm a little shaky on, and I think they're going to start falling off towards the end of the season. So the Redbirds could make a massive leap.
We'll continue to follow the Redbirds all season long. Once again, a big one against Indiana State this weekend, and then the biggest probably game of the season, Wednesday, Bradley. You can tune in that one live here on 103.3 WZND. But when we come back, we're going to put a bow on the NFL season. WZND back here on the Red Zone. Ben Hootie, Julian Voss, Joey LeMaster, ready to put a bookend on this NFL season. And what a season it was, with the Philadelphia Eagles being crowned champions of the National Football League in a game that I just think not many people expected to go the way that it did. But man, did it kind of feel good to see the Chiefs just get kicked around like that. And the Philadelphia Eagles, kind of like we've been saying all season long, just pure domination in all aspects of the game.
It was honestly, I loved watching the Chiefs just lose a game like that. But at the same time, I just wanted an exciting big game. It was just more of a total domination on one side, I feel, versus just a full-out, all-around, just great game. I still enjoyed it 100%, but I think the Chiefs need a lot of work to do also in this offseason.
Yeah, and the Chiefs, they don't have the money to do that work. Like, they're paying, like, their top 5 players over, like, I want to say it's 70% of their budget, which is just ridiculous in the NFL. And just the Chiefs, you have to be worried. I know Mahomes kind of stat pad in the fourth quarter, so the stats don't look terrible, but heading into the break when you have 24 passing yards and 2 interceptions for who's supposed to be the next go, it's just, there's concerns all around going to Kansas City. Travis Kelce said he's going to debate playing next season, So there's drama.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think that's a good place to start with Kansas City as to really where do they go from here. We know they're the Chiefs. Like, Tom Brady lost big games. He lost the championships, but you know, to lose two the way that he has, I think it's starting to like, and that's just how the media kind of takes it. But in terms of the GOAT debate, in terms of Pat Mahomes and Brady and this path that Mahomes is on, I think we could put a pause on it for the time being, right?
I've always put a pause on it just because Brady beat him in the big one.
Yeah, but, true.
But yeah, I'd also agree with that. Mahomes, he kind of needed this one to get around that Brady spot because Brady's already won, what, seven championships? So Mahomes has a lot of work to do to catch up with that, but having a three-peat would have definitely brought him up with it.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to pull up a tweet I saw just because it made me laugh, because Mahomes, he lost to Brady in the AFC Championship game. He lost to Brady in the big game, and then he lost with Brady calling the big game, and this guy said, fake devil magic look real till real devil magic pull up.
True.
And that's exactly what happened. It's just Brady just continues to keep getting the upper hand on Mahomes.
Yeah, and honestly, this is no knock on the Chiefs. They can easily be back here next year. There's no denying it. But I think there's going to be a lot of internal discussions. And I think the biggest thing that we can kind of circle is what's the decision with Travis Kelce? Because whether or not Kelce decides to retire or keep playing, and I think if this conversation were to be had with the Chiefs, at least this is just what's going on in my internal thoughts. Mm-hmm. Kelce is still a very good player. There's no doubt about it. But for what he's getting paid, it's just not there like it used to be. It's almost kind of like a Cooper Kupp situation in terms of what I'm seeing with this Chiefs and similar to what the Rams are doing with Cooper Kupp. I think there needs to be a serious debate. And, you know, if I'm Kelce, I'm just taking the money, saying goodbye, and going to make more money doing media, because we all know that's going to end up happening.
He's 100% getting the media, but
yeah,
I think the Chiefs, this is a very important offseason, not only for Travis Kelce, but also that O-line, too.
Yeah.
Trey Smith is also a free agent with them. They're going to have to make a big decision with him. Creed Humphrey is going to be having a huge paycheck coming up too soon. So this team also is stepping up in age. The defense is perfectly fine, I think, right now. But the offense right now, I think a lot of work's going to be going in the trenches.
Yeah, I think Ryan Poles better pick up the phone because Trey Smith is available. I don't care what the CHGO guys did trying to sabotage that, but with, you know, the Chiefs' financial situations they may be approaching, you pay Trey Smith, you just give him the blank check, and then I'm not going to complain because Trey Smith is incredible at the game of football.
And he looked great. He was like the only Chiefs offensive lineman that actually looked pretty solid on Sunday. But now let's pivot to the Eagles because, oh my goodness, I predicted the Eagles to win. I thought that they, at least the week leading up to it, never did I expect it like this. And especially a game where, if you would have told me before the big game and said, hey, Saquon Barkley is only going to have 60 yards on the ground, chances are I'm probably saying the Eagles lost. But man, it is time to give Jalen Hurts his flowers. He's been here twice. I know people are going to make debates that if you put any other top 10 quarterback in this offense, the same thing is happening. I think this easily solidifies Jalen Hurts as a top 5 quarterback in the NFL right now, and there's just no denying it. What he was able to do, a lot of the game was put on his shoulders in terms of what we said. It was such an X factor, his arm. How was he going to be able to make the big throws? He did every single time. He stepped up in so many big situations for the Eagles, and there's a reason why he won the MVP of this game.
Yeah, and I'm going to acknowledge one of my freezing cold takes. I remember when we were doing the Super Bowl preview, I'm like, oh, if the game is in Jalen Hurts' hands and not Barkley's, the Eagles aren't going to win the game. Boy, was I wrong. Absolutely wrong. Jalen Hurts, I will give you your flowers. I really didn't think you were that guy, but you proved that you are him.
That pass that he threw to Devontae Smith is probably one of the most beautiful
100%.
Big game passes I've ever watched in my life. And not only just that pass, he made a lot of just great decisions throughout the whole game. I know that he had a pick in the game, right?
Yeah, that was like his one, but it was like an arm punt, basically.
Yeah, pretty much. But other than that, he just pretty much played very calm and collected throughout the whole game. And having weapons like that at the ages that he has the weapons at, having the draft picks that they have, this seems to be so dangerous for so long.
And Hootie, I know there's a different interception you would like to talk about.
I was going to say, we got to get to that defense because, man, 40 points is a lot of points, but 7 of those came off of pick 6 from Cooper DeJean. I mean, just what a moment. You know, I couldn't believe it. It was the craziest thing. I've been calling it all week. I said Cooper DeJean's going to score. He did. But, you know, we don't have to get into that. This Eagles defense, it's so young. There is so many pieces across this team that is just like, you know, it was almost like last year, even though they were solid, it was like a retool. It's like they took a look in the mirror and was like, all right, especially Kellen Moore and Vic Fangio. Like, I know they got Kellen Moore late, whatever. They got Vic Fangio late. And it was just like, all right, we're going to turn this complete thing around. Nick Sirianni just hired the right coordinators. Kellen Moore with the perfect offensive game plan. Low-key, the big game MVP should have gone to Vic Fangio, just what he was able to do, and just throw off Mahomes so much. But there's just stars all over this defense, and a lot of guys they don't have to worry about paying for a long time. The Eagles can easily be back here.
They just gave – I think that the Eagles' biggest thing was they filled exactly what they needed in the offseason. Two corners, Quinion Mitchell and both Cooper DeJean. Those are two, I'd say, top 20 corners in the league right now, easily, right away. And then you got two really good veteran DBs in the backfields at safety. You got Reed Blankenship and you have Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. Both of them are just phenomenal as well. This whole team is pretty much rounded out very, very well. But also on the inside, they also had a really good I forgot his name. They were a linebacker on the
inside. Zach Bond.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's a free agent. And he took, like, a really cheap deal to come to Philly. It obviously worked out. He's going to get paid this offseason. Don't know if it's going to be by the Eagles. But I'm pretty sure the Eagles still have some cash to spend. And, like, they're just going to reload again.
They have Milton Williams they got to pay as well. Okay. Dirty tackle, he had 2.5 sacks.
And I think. Sweat as well. Sweat, but it's the way it seems, Sweat might be kind of out of there, which is fine. They still have so many other good people on that line.
Yeah, I think the Eagles, this team could go back-to-back. I don't want to say it this early on, but this is such a good team, so well-rounded, and I feel like their chemistry has just been so much better than it was in the past years I've seen. I could see them going back again.
Yeah, it's really impressive what they were able to do, and I will say congratulations to the Eagles on finally getting over the hump of Patrick Mahomes. But we did cook something up earlier in the lab today. We were listening back to our old Red Zone episodes of some hot takes we had early in the year. Now, this was right before week one, so Joey was not there. So it's a lot of me and Julian. There is Liam Lyons is on this one as well. But we do find a Joey hot take at the end. It's very awesome. But these are some of our best takes, some of our best and worst takes of the 2024-2025 NFL season.
I feel like the Bills are going to take a little bit of a down year, I feel like, this year.
I think Josh Allen is like a sneaky MVP favorite just because I think he's going to show why he's one of the most valuable players in the sport this year. But really, this is like the Ravens division to lose, it feels like. Again, their offense, just the way that they run it, as long as they stick with it because they, for some reason, go away from it in playoff games. I think the Jaguars and Colts both make either one of them makes playoffs, or they could potentially both make the playoffs. The Eagles absolutely bolstered up this offseason and maybe have, on paper, the best offense in football. But Dallas feels like they have something to prove. This Lions team like feels like a team of destiny, almost.
The Vikings got no shot.
So, Bears making the playoffs. Let's put it on the record now. I think the Bears, Lions, and Packers all make the playoffs.
I think it's going to be Chiefs-Eagles. This is going to be the time that the Eagles actually make it out.
Yeah, no, Chicago Bears, they got this. I'm going to pick them every week because they're the best team in the sport of football.
Jesus.
What a rap, man. I mean, there were some good takes out there. I mean, we could break it down. We still got some time before we go to break. What was the best take out of? Obviously, Julian just nailing the championship on the head. Absolute bullseye on that one. Good job. Good job on that one, Julian.
Thank you. I forgot I said that.
Yeah, I know. I was listening back. I was like, awesome. I think you thought this whole year when we've been talking about it, I thought you said you were like, I think I picked the Ravens.
Yeah, I think I thought I picked the Ravens to be in the big game, but I guess I was actually right.
Yeah, you nailed it right on the head. There were a couple double-edged sword takes. I was like, oh, the Philly, they're going to be awesome this year. And I was like, but Dallas has something to prove. Like, what are you doing?
The Bills
were
going to be bad.
Yeah, that was a tough one to start. And then we could obviously wrap it all up. We could talk a little bit about the Colts-Jaguars one. What are you doing, Ben? And you've been calling it. We were listening. Me and Joey were listening back to old Red Zone episodes. You were going in on Trevor Lawrence.
I hated him.
Yeah, like you were
still do.
Like,
yeah, I still do to this day.
And that Bears take that he says at the end, which, you know, we tried to go through as many episodes as possible and was like, all right, Joey had to say something stupid about the Bears at some point, and we just couldn't find it. But every single time we were listening to episodes, it's like, yeah, Trevor Lawrence is horrible. Like, he's just the worst, whatever. Yeah, the Jags-Colts take is really bad. What else? Team of Destiny. I mean, that was, like, probably, like, one of my favorite lines. I feel like I probably said Lions, Team of Destiny. How many times do you think I Red Zone? At least too many for them. Yeah, I jinxed the heck out of them.
Thank you. Thank you.
And then also, one of our favorite lines, which is actually in that video, is what was it again? Oh, it was, we always say the the Chiefs are the new Patriots.
Oh,
we love saying that. That was one of our favorites. But Joey, your Bears take. Do we got anything to say about that?
Yeah, I don't necessarily hate it because you got to consider this. If the Bears won the games they lost, they would have went undefeated. So, like, I really don't think I had that terrible of a take with it. The Bears are a really good football team, and they'll continue to prove it again next season.
I was so confused for a second.
completely different from what he said, but did you guys see Carl Ravage so confused by the SEC, like, in match play right now? He's 82-82.
Dude, that's a paid analyst. That's like, how is the SEC 500 in play? Like, that's a joke.
Oh my god. There's so many things. I like how Liam squeezed in there. It's like, yeah, the Vikings are just going to be bad. Boy, were we wrong. Yeah,
shout out Liam Lyons.
Oh man.
Aaron Rodgers.
We've been thinking about doing that for a really long time. And I mean, we can go back. I feel like by the time that we finish the show and we say our goodbyes, we should just go back and like print out like all of our hot takes and just do raps for us for that last episode. I think that'd be awesome, right?
That'd be incredible.
Man, I mean, that was so much fun to put together, especially when you look back and it's like, hey, look at me. I was right about Josh Allen. And then I say the Colts and Jaguars are going to make the playoffs. It's like, what are we doing, Ben? What are we doing? But yeah, NFL season officially over. But as much as we want to say that, NFL is far from over. The offseason is just beginning. Mm-hmm. It'll be like this weird dry spot for the next, what, 2, 3, 4 weeks, then free agency kicks off, then the draft. You know we're going to be talking about the Bears. You know we're going to be talking about other teams. There's some big free agents as well. So NFL coverage is far from over as long as the three of us are here on the Red Zone.
What would you rate this season out of a scale of 1 to 10?
Overall? Oof. It was a fun season. Like, it was a good season just because of the fact that you had, like, surprise teams like the Commanders. I think the Lions made it a lot of fun. And then I think to see a team – hoist the Lombardi that a lot of people were doubting, I think it made it a pretty solid season.
I'll give it like an 8.5. I think we had a lot of surprise, like Ben said, but the only issue I had is the Sunday night games just always seem to suck.
It's been terrible for a really long time.
Yeah, that needs to be addressed. I don't know how, because it needs a little bit of luck.
Can we just flex every week? Like, no, instead of like putting the schedule in advance, like they just leave Sunday night open and they're like, all right, Bears and Packers, you're going to play on Sunday night this week. That, you know, if we were the owners of the NFL, I mean, this is just things that we could come up with.
Yeah. We might be playing the Eagles first game.
I heard about it. We can't go on this tangent right now. We could talk more and more. We're just going to miss football so much. But when we come back, we're going to be drafting NBA All-Stars in honor of this weekend. Stay right here on the Red Zone. WZND back here on the Red Zone. Ben Hootie, Julian Voss, Joey LeMaster. It is officially NBA All-Star Weekend, or not just yet, starting tomorrow, correct? We have the Futures game, and then we have the dunk contest, three-point contest on Saturday.
Don't forget about the celebrity game.
Celebrity game, of course. One of the most exhilarating weekends of the year. No, I'm just kidding. But you know, it's good to give the All-Stars their flowers, and we want to talk about it because, obviously, over the next couple of weeks, NBA is going to be a hot topic on this show. So, similar to last week when we did with the big game, when we drafted teams, we're going to be drafting the NBA All-Star team, similar to what they did this year. There is three teams. They changed the format of the All-Star game. You have Shaq's OGs, Kenny's Young Stars, and Chuck's Global Stars. I think it was scripted.
It was so scripted.
So we're going to draft teams based on how we want to. Honestly, we could just run this as far as we want. We could take every All-Star if we really wanted
to.
I mean, we could do whatever we want. Let's just do our own teams. We did the wheel once again, and guess what? It gained the same exact result.
I'm actually so pissed.
It gave us the same exact result as it did the week before, and that is Joey with the first pick, Ben with the second pick, and Julian with the third pick, and we're doing this snake style. So I guess we could just kick it off to Joey, and who are you going with first?
Yeah, I know complaining about the first pick is ridiculous, especially when you can take the best player in basketball, Nikola Jokic. He's just able to do everything at the center position. He's going to score. He's going to assist. He's going to rebound. He's going to do everything, and that's the leader I need. I mean, this is the obvious pick.
Does it matter about positions, really, in an All-Star game? I feel like I'm just trying to take the best.
Oh, I'm just trying to win. I'm going to draft
the best team. All right. Jokic, obviously off the board. Makes sense. All right, me, I'm going to go with I'm going to pick someone off Chuck's Global Stars as well. I don't know how he get it was scripted. There's no way he got these four guys. I mean, these could be the first four picks in our draft. But I'm going to go with the current MVP favorite. He is so much fun to watch. SGA, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander for the Oklahoma City Thunder, just having a phenomenal season. And, he's so much fun to watch. He's awesome. I mean,
outside of the free throw nonsense, he's incredible. I mean, you don't really see the mid-range game in 2025 anymore, which is pretty cool. He's able to do that. He plays defense. He moves the ball around. He rebounds. And he is the face of what might potentially be the new dynasty of the NBA.
If we're going all-star game, I'm going the excitement. And I'm going LeBron. I mean, okay. How do you guys pass out on LeBron right there?
Because I want to win.
I want to win, too. But also, I want a bunch of alley-oops and a crowd cheering my team. Well, okay. I get back-to-backs, right?
Yes.
Yeah. With him, I will probably go so his afraid. Best buddy, Kevin Durant.
Ooh, okay.
I'm going OGs, I guess.
Are they best buds? That. I thought LeBron was best buds with
Shaq's OGs right now.
So wait, before we get into this, we probably should have stated this before we started. Are we taking injured players? Are we not taking?
You can take Kyrie and Trey. You just can't take the you can't take Anthony Davis.
What about Giannis?
You can't take Giannis.
So we cannot take Giannis.
No, you cannot take Giannis.
Okay, thank you. Then that will make my next pick early. Let's go with Steph Curry. I mean, he's just...
Wow.
I'm going to go with two guards, two of the best guards in the NBA, probably the two best guards in the NBA. Steph Curry is awesome. I love Steph Curry.
So this did not go as planned because there's a play I really wanted. I didn't think he was going to be available, so I'm going to have a ginormous team. I'm taking Wemby. Wemby is the most exciting thing in the NBA right now. I don't know how I'm going to make the pairing with him and Jokic work because they kind of dominate in the same areas, but that's 100% going to be my guy. He is the most exciting thing in basketball. And then I need to go point guard. I mean, Edwards and Tatum are on the board, so like, I have to. I'm taking Anthony Edwards. I know I should go point guard here, but it's just Edwards, Wemby, and Jokic has got to be the most exciting thing in the world, and I just cannot pass up on that opportunity. It's the all-star game. Like, get some excitement while winning.
Okay. I feel like all the size is gone. I feel like I can wait. Actually, you know what? Let me think about this real quick.
This is tough.
Yeah, I know. This is a tough one. This is a really tough one. I mean, I could go with the reigning champion and finals MVP and Jason Tatum. But you know what? I'm going to go with a guy that is just having an incredible season this year for a team that I think is, you know, fiending really hard for a championship, and that's Karl Anthony Towns.
He's been awesome. Oh my god, over Tatum?
I'm sorry, like, isn't Kat, like, totally not. He's like,
no, Kat's
top
awesome,
four in MVP candidates right now, top five.
No, but like, Tatum's more bona fide. That's crazy in my eyes.
Yeah, no, I agree with that, but like, you know, I needed some size.
I respect it. I mean, this team, Curry and Kat, like, you guys are stretching the floor while SGA's controlling the mid-range. I kind of like it.
Let's see, that's perfect 1-2-3 right there.
You know what? This is a world of an imagination. LeBron's running point guard for my team. LeBron's running the one.
Yeah, have fun.
I'm taking Jason Tatum.
Yeah.
So that's LeBron at the one. And number at
this
the
is
two,
a lengthy team. Oh my
let's
god.
Let's see. Honestly, I'm probably gonna go with Donovan Mitchell.
Okay. I like that. I mean, what the Cavs are doing this season behind Donovan Mitchell is like ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. It's so crazy. I mean, when they got off to that start too, it was like, I mean, what team is this? Like, this was a team that just fired their coach. Like, everyone was like, what is going on? And the Cavs have just dominated this season. Current number one seed in the Eastern Conference. Okay. Where do I go next is the question. Do I pick one off Kenny's young stars? Which is kind of crazy that we're calling Jaren Jackson a young star at this point. I feel like he's done his time, right?
No? You would think.
All right. KD's off the board, correct?
Yes.
Yep.
Okay. I'm going to take another player from the Knicks, Jalen Brunson. Such a fun player to watch. And his, like, just the whole story, you know, he had that crazy playoff run with the Mavs, got him that big contract, even though everyone knew he was going to New York. And but he's become one of the best stars in the NBA since going to New York. I'm going to take the Knicks duo, go with Brunson and Kat.
Yeah, SJ and Brunson. If only this was the free throw shooting game, you'd be incredible. You'd have us beat Ben. But so I'm going to go bold with this pick, and I will explain it why, because he is a little bit later on the young stars team, but when you have Wemby, you need an alley-oop threat, so I want the best pass that's currently available. Cade Cunningham's getting 26-9 a game. That needs to be my point guard to run this offense. So Cade Cunningham, first-time all-star, just completely changing the franchise of the Pistons. I mean, the Pistons just sucked last year. Now they're above 500, give me a playoff team. I need that energy on my team. Give me Tatum. No, not Tatum. Wow, excuse me. Give me Cade Cunningham. And then I need a small forward here. I feel like this could be early. I'm going to do it. I'm going to go Jalen Williams to run my small forward. Ooh. Him and Chet interchange as the second best players on what could be the best team in the NBA. And he provides what we need. He can space the floor a little bit. He's a good defender. Just kind of can do a little bit of it all. And I feel like I have a lot of that all around my team. So it's just, I'm very proud of how the starting five has turned out.
At this point, I could really care less about size. I think I'm just trying to take the best players available. And yeah, I mean, I think I'm going to take Giannis's running mate and Damian Lillard.
This is a fun team.
Right? I have a lot of fun here. Yeah, a lot of stars.
Power forward SGA. I'm all for it.
I need a big man very badly. I'm going to take Jaren Jackson with this next pick. I think he can play the five easily. He's been one of the best defenders in the whole entire league the last couple of years. So I'm going to take him. And to go with him, I'm going to go Jaylen Brown. Finals MVP Jaylen Brown.
Wow, finally not the last pick. Good for him. No, because it's crazy. Like,
for the
Olympics,
he was
last. He was the last pick in this draft, too. Yeah.
He's just so disrespected. That is nuts. All right. I am going to get some more size. I know I just completely said that, but, you know, this is a guy that's playing for the best team in the Eastern Conference, and, yeah, I just need him here. I'm going to take Evan Mobley.
Okay.
He is so much fun to watch, just because he's so lengthy, and just the way he runs across the court, him and D. Mitch have been so much fun to watch. I'm going to go with Mobley here.
Yeah, I really thought he was going to be traded this offseason, so the fact that he's still there, I'm happy for him. The Cavs were able to make that work out, and I think that's huge. So now let's keep going. I'm going to go with the guard here first. I want a little spark plug off the bench. Give me a Darius Garland, another incredible player for the Cavaliers. Darius Garland, and then... Oh, man, there's so much pressure on the spot. I don't know how, like, league owners do this.
They get a good 10 minutes.
Yeah, no, we got to do it all in 15 minutes. And then I'm going to go the other big man off the bench. I'm going to go with the, I don't want to say Walmart because I'm about to draft my team, but I'm going to go with the Walmart Jokic. Give me Alfred Sengun. I kind of get two centers. I can do a little bit of everything, and just they can facilitate and let all my star players do the thing.
LeBron,
I think it's
dunking all over your team.
Bro, no, on Wemby? On Wemby?
Hey, Kobe White dunked on Wemby.
Hey,
never forget.
Never. Where were you for Kobe White dunking on Wemby?
I know exactly where I was at. That's the craziest part. I do know exactly where I was at.
Where were you?
I was chilling in my basement, and I was walking downstairs, and my brother goes, dude, Kobe White just dunked on Wemby. No shot.
That's fire.
All right. Sengun of the surprise Houston Rockets, who have taken a huge step forward. I am going to get a player that can dish out the ball to my two big men in Kat and Mobley. Give me James Harden, getting all the assists, going to pass it over to SGA and Curry. Get it out to Kat, get it out to Mobley. James Harden, the beard.
I will be going LeBron's best buddy, Kyrie Irving, with my next pick. But with him, I need another guy to pull up from half. I'm going Trae Young with him.
Yep, that's the guy I was raging about. I totally forgot Trae Young's in the game. I would have actually taken him as my sixth man.
Trae Young is claiming all-star appearances like Infinity Stones, but it's just the fact that he only gets on the team whenever a player is injured.
Yeah.
I think he's done that like 3 years in a row or something at this point, so... I mean, good for him, man. Like, you know, if that's what he wants to do, then that's perfectly fine. All right. I think there's only two players left.
How's that possible?
I don't know. I'm missing.
No, there's Tyler Hero. Siakam.
And Siakam. All right, I'm taking Siakam. You can have Tyler Hero.
Yeah. This bench stinks.
I have no
I'm so proud of my starting five. My depth's awful.
What do we think? Like, I'll name out the team. So, Joey, you went Jokic, Wembanyama, Anthony Edwards, Cade Cunningham, Jalen Williams, Darius Garland, Alfred Sengun, and Tyler Hero. I have Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Steph Curry, Karl Anthony Towns, Jalen Brunson, Damian Lillard, Evan Mobley, James Harden, and Pascal Siakam, Julian with LeBron James, Kevin Durant, Jason Tatum, Donovan Mitchell, Jaren Jackson, Jalen Brown, Kyrie Irving, and Trae Young. We got to give like our team names.
Oh, okay.
Similar to how they did Chuck's Global Stars, Kenny's Young Stars, and Shaq's OGs.
Wow, you put me on the spot here. I wish I thought of this ahead
of time. The Masters?
The LeMasters.
The LeMasters.
The cop-out of having a cool last name can really help you in a lot of scenarios.
There you go.
There's like no like thing I could think of with my team because they're all different ages.
You should just do like Bon Bon's best friends.
Wait,
Bon Bon's besties.
Oh, Bron and them?
Yeah, yeah, Brown and them.
Brown and them.
Yeah, like he doesn't have Katie and Jason Tatum.
You kind of have.
I like my squad a lot.
I think
you kind of have Team USA a little bit. Yeah, you got LeBron, Katie, Tatum. Was Jackson on Team USA this summer?
No.
So. Jalen, Kyrie wasn't, right? No, neither was Trae Young. Where does my team stand? I don't even know. The New York Knicks. Yeah, sure. Right, why not? Like,
before
foul baiters.
The foul baiters. All right, I love that.
Yeah, before we go into break, though, like, what would be like your guys' like starting fives?
Okay, I like this.
Yeah, because I'm rolling out. I mean, it was my first five picks. Cade Cunningham at the point, Anthony Edwards at the two, Jalen Williams at the three, Wemby at the four, and Jokic at the five.
I'm going to go LeBron at the one, Mitchell at the two, Tatum at the three, KD at the four, and Jaren Jackson at the five.
Okay, I'm going to go Harden at the one, Curry at the two, SGA at the three, Cat at the four, Mobley at the five.
Evan Mobley starting in the All-Star game.
We could space the four, and then you got Brunson, Lillard, and Siakam off the bench.
That's nice. I mean, the bench is my biggest weakness with guard. I really forgot Trae Young was in the game. I'm not going to forgive myself for that one. I hope that didn't sell me. It's just, I'm super proud of the starting five. I mean, Jokic not being the strongest defender, having Wemby right behind him is going to be huge, and just Cade Cunningham throwing oops, and Anthony Edwards is going to do his thing. Like, I feel like we got solid enough spacing, and just this team's so talented. We got multiple players that can move the ball, and Wemby's going to average 30, 30, and 20. It's going to be ridiculous.
Your team probably is going to run down the court twice and lose all their fatigue. All their energy.
Let's do this. I'm not listening to the uncle team right now. You got the unction. That's your team, hey. The unction, bro.
We still got Mitchell, Tatum, Brown, Jaren Jackson, and Trae Young on the team. We got two guys.
Dude,
that
I'm
won
not
it all.
Losing.
I like this idea. We're gonna come back to this next week. Whoever will add up all the points they scored in the All-Star game.
That's fire.
And whoever ends up having the most total points amongst their team wins, whether it's between Jackson,
you know, Jokic ain't
Kenny
trying.
Yeah, I would have went about this a little differently. If I
you know Jokic ain't trying.
Or we do points per game. I don't know. Maybe we could just add up their total points for the year. But then, like, you know, I got a Mobley. I need some rebounds out here. Oh, my goodness. I cannot wait to see this new format for the NBA All-Star game. It'll be quite interesting with the three teams. But when we come back in the Red Zone, we're going to do one of our favorite things. We're going to round the bases. Stay right here. WZND back here on the Red Zone. Ben Hootie, Julian Voss, Joey LeMaster. For the first time, probably since the three of us took over this show, I don't think we're talking football as the last segment of the show.
It's weird, man. I'm not sure if I like it.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy because we've just been so used to football mode. We've done pick six, you know, playoff breakdowns, whatever it might be, and now it's just no more football. It's so sad. This is really, you know, we do a sports talk show every week, and that we'll have plenty of content to rely on, but this is really the dry months of sports.
Mm-hmm. I know we talked about this. It's either the time right now or like that month span in the summer where like NBA is over, somewhere March Madness, like that's not really a significant part of the MLB season yet. So like,
yeah,
it's either one of those two.
You're probably right on that. Like July.
Yeah.
But like the summer vibes, that's the thing. Like
nothing to do with sports.
But I think it helps bring you up though.
Yeah. How does that have anything to do with what's the drier or exciting spell of
sports?
No,
I know.
Because you could look at your phone and be like, oh, the Cubs are winning right now.
Yeah.
And it's nice outside. What are we talking about?
It's better
about?
Than checking on absolutely nothing right
summer
now
camp,
and it being...
Summer camp for the NFL too.
True.
Yeah, I like that a lot.
You don't like paying attention to that?
Well, I pay attention to scroll my phone, but I'm like, oh, okay, man, summer camp's coming. Let's go.
Yeah,
this is so much right better than, like, NBA, like,
it
playoffs
is.
Or what's going on.
I think it is. The NBA right now is, like, at its dead period.
I know that I'm, like, the baseball guy, like, hand up, but I would much rather have, like, no sports from, like, July to August right before football season and just be able to, like, check the phone and say, oh, look, the Cubs are winning, than, you know, being the freezing cold right now and check the NBA and even hockey's in a break right now. Like hockey's at their all-star break. They're doing a really cool thing with the four nations where they're all playing each other. But either way, I think this is the dead end of sports.
Sure. Is this going to be one of our rounding the bases
topics? We can fight about it all we want. All right, let's round the bases. We do this here and there where we bring our favorite sports story. Necessarily doesn't need an entire segment of the show. And we break it down for you. I'll start off with the news that broke last night. Alex Bregman to the Boston Red Sox on a 3-year, $120 million deal with opt-outs after each year. And more of the reason I'm bringing it as a salty Cubs fan. Did I expect to get Alex Bregman? Not necessarily. But it's still disappointing when you're in on an all-star caliber player and you lose out. And I really think the Cubs were really close to getting this one done at the finish line. And it just seems like it wasn't in their budget, which I think is the biggest thing that I want to talk about, where I think Jed Hoyer has had a good offseason, a really great offseason, getting Kyle Tucker, getting a star, just building a really solid bullpen. And we know the prospects are on the way up as well. But I think an exclamation point on the offseason would have been the biggest thing of it all. But from reports today, it seems like Tom Ricketts wasn't willing to open up his checkbook for that.
Yeah, I think what you could say about this offseason is it pretty much was the best a good offseason could possibly be.
Yeah.
It wasn't great. It wasn't terrible. It was better than okay, I would say, just because you got a top 15 player in the game. But at the same time, I feel like they could have gotten a little bit more pop in the bats with him. Kyle Tucker's a great guy, but they needed a little bit more pop in the middle of the order. But I have a big feeling about Matt Shaw this season.
Yeah, I was just going
to
say that.
I'm very excited for him, especially without getting Bregman. Now it seems like that's really his spot to lose. And I think they're going to sign probably like Justin Turner or somebody else.
Right.
Like that.
I think there's still moves to come. They have flexibility, clearly, if they were in on such a highly touted player like Alex Bregman. And they better spend that money somewhere because, you know, you traded Cody Bellinger, and it makes sense why they traded him, but you traded him, got rid of majority of his contract, and you said that you were going to make these moves. Now, granted, they have made a couple moves since then. Kyle Tucker's not taking up too much of the payroll right now, so you have to spend that money somewhere. It's just a little, you got the salty feeling when you're in on an all-star player like that, and you lose out on him for probably only a couple million dollars, and you just wish, like, yeah, Alex Bregman getting $40 million a year is kind of crazy. Like, that's the fourth most annually in baseball.
Jesus.
But either way, you know, sometimes, and especially when you want to be a World Series contending team, you have to make moves like that. The Dodgers do it all the time. The Cubs are a big enough market to open up the paychecks and just go after a star player like Alex Bregman.
Yeah, my thing is, I'm not really expecting them to re-sign Kyle Tucker at this point of the season. And if you're not going to re-sign him right now, you have better brought other guys in around him for this exact season. So if they're not going to bring in big-name guys like that right now, they better be opening up the paycheck mid-season and sign him back right away. And I know he's probably not going to want a mid-season offer or something like that, but if it happens in the off-season, they have to bring him back somehow.
And then my question to you, Hootie, is we were talking a little bit. Did you bring up something about, like, deferring contracts as well?
Yeah, so... Man, I did see this. Okay. So apparently some of the money that the Red Sox gave to Alex Bregman is deferred money. And Jed Hoyer had a press conference today, and it was very obvious, openly obvious, that the Cubs were very much in on Alex Bregman. So, you know, Jed Hoyer, president of baseball office of the Cubs, was willing to take questions about Alex Bregman. And he kind of said that, you know, the Ricketts family was their – they don't want to do the deferred money thing. They don't want to worry about money in the future, kind of like what the Dodgers owners are doing. You know, they have one of the greatest rosters you can ever assemble, but half those players, all that money is deferred way into the future. And apparently the Ricketts have a problem because they're still paying Jason Hayward and John Lester deferred money, and they don't want to do that with a player like Alex Bregman that can win you a World Series, bring you to that level. And it's just frustrating. It really is. And I just want to go back to it really quick. It is... I think this team is set up to win the Central. Like, they have put together a great roster. The Central, it feels like it's taking a step back. It feels like players are going to, you know, get even better than they were last year. But it's just frustrating when you could put an exclamation point and kind of put yourself, you know, not in the same vein as the Dodgers, but put yourself with that upper echelon of the National League.
Yeah, I think this team definitely is, I would say right now, is the favorites to win the NL Central. But with that, you're not really just expecting to win your division. You're expecting to win at least a couple games in the playoffs with that. The Dodgers are obviously insane. They're going to probably win it all again this year somehow, some way. But with that, you really want to be more than just a playoff team. And I feel like that's just a whole recipe for all Chicago sports, is the ownership's just like, all right, we're going to make the playoffs. We're going to get fans going to the games. So that's all we need.
I'll leave it with this quote from Jed Hoyer. We made the best offer we could. And I don't think that's Jed Hoyer speaking.
No,
that is 100% ownership. I feel bad for Jed. I feel like he's gotten a really tough go the last couple years, especially when they're missing out on these upper echelon free agents. but in all reality, it's starting to feel like the owners, they might not be too cheap. They're not as cheap as the White Sox are, obviously, but you can tell the Ricketts are, they're really starting to play a factor in this, and it's getting frustrating, but still excited for the Cubs. We'll have plenty of baseball to talk about as we continue through the season. Joey, I know that you just saw something that we definitely need to break down.
Yeah, because nothing's better than hating on the Red Zone, especially when you're hating the Chicago Bulls, because a report came out earlier from Joe Cowley, that there are no plans to remove Arturis Karnisovas from his role as Executive Vice President of Basketball Operations, and it is also a solid bet that General Manager Mark Eversley and Head Coach Billy Donovan are equally as safe, and I just think that is a tremendous joke to not just the sport of basketball, but the city of Chicago, the state of Illinois, the country of the United States, and the globe of the earth that we live on, because this team is just a tremendous joke. Like, it's something to laugh at, and I get this team's trying to tank. Let's say hypothetically we somehow follow the number one pick and we bring in Cooper Flagg. This is just identical to what the Chicago Bears did, where they brought in the number one player, but guess what? They have a terrible foundation around it. They have a terrible coaching staff. I don't want to say terrible management, especially compared to the Bulls, but they don't have the foundation Caleb needs to come into. And now let's say you do this hypothetically with Cooper Flagg, and it's just awful first season. You fire your head coach, and then you're at square one again and pretty much just wasted his rookie season. And I just think this is such a massive mistake from the Chicago Bulls.
The worst part about it is I honestly expected that. Like, it seemed like they're just going to keep AK, they're going to keep Billy, and just keep rocking out with the same play-in team that's just going to keep doing the same exact thing for the next 5 years.
This team can't be a play-in, though.
It's a Jerry Reinsdorf move.
No, but did you guys see the stat line against the Detroit Pistons?
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, 71-24, 1 of 23 from the three-point line. Like, I know, I don't want to say I'm egotistical, but I'm a very confident person. I think if you give me 23, 24 attempts, I'll make two. I know it's a terrible field goal percentage. I think I can make 2 3-pointers.
Especially with the defense in the NBA these days.
Yeah.
It's just the worst part about this, and I hate talking about the Bulls with anybody, because this is legitimately a team with no direction.
No.
Like, there is zero direction. Like, they have a close to an all-star player that they have locked up in Coby White. Like, mm-hmm. he's a positive player to have, but why waste the rest of his career at this point? You know, I love Coby White. I know you love Coby White more mm-hmm. than anyone, but, you know, just take control of his value and just flip the script and start over. I mean, Matas has shown flashes of brilliance this year. Really, mm-hmm. he has. I mean, a couple days ago, I think he went 10 for 10 from field goal range.
I think it was 12 for 12. Like, it was, I know he shot 100%.
Incredible. Yeah. And that's obviously flashes of a great young player, but, you know, when we're talking about great young players in the NBA, I don't think Matas Bezelis is like the first thing that comes to mind to really anyone, probably not even outside the top 35 people that come to your mind.
I mean, I think he can be at best a borderline all-star. That's his like potential.
Yeah, like the Lauri Markkanen type of guy. I'd say he's like,
I would love that, but guess what? Every time you get a guy like that, it's just
get rid of him.
See ya.
Or don't even play him.
Did you guys see that they rejected a first round pick?
I was going to bring that up.
Is that going to be your base?
I mean,
we're just running with the Bulls.
I was running with the Bulls, and I was just trying to full on hate on them as much as possible. But Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
You get to pick
for
Lonzo Ball, a guy that just pretty much has a whole new knee in his leg, and you decide to say, nah, we're just going to re sign him.
I don't even care what year that first round pick is in. Mm-mm. Legitimately do not care.
We have none.
And I think we were talking like 2 weeks ago or a week ago, whatever it was, and we were like, you know what? Like, they did all this stuff for him. Like, they rehabbed him. Like, it took him so long to get back on the court. Like, no shame. Like, it's okay that they extended Lonzo Ball. I'm fine with them keeping around. A first round pick? Yeah. You take that all day. I don't care what you say. Like, no, just take it.
No, this team has no direction. They want to make the playoffs and they want to tank at the same time. I hate to break it to you, that's not possible. Like, that's just not how the sport of basketball works. And it's just, this team's just going to be mediocre forever. I don't ever plan to see them win a championship in my lifetime.
I feel bad for Vucevic too. You're having the mm-hmm. best year in so long, and they decide to say, yeah, we're just going to keep you to be a 10 seed. Yeah. We hope to be a 10 seed.
I just don't think any team was willing to go. There was just way too much business going on in the NBA that I think, like, Nikola Vucevic was put on the back burner, and they were like, you know, like, all these big trades are going on. Like, if they don't break, like, then, you know, maybe Vooch gets traded. And the Bulls were just sitting there waiting at their phone. That's at least what I picture when
no,
I think
of this. No, but that's the issue, though, with what you just said. They're just waiting at the phone. Make some phone calls.
Yeah.
You guys are grown adults. You are a general manager of a big market team and one of the biggest organizations in the world. Why are you waiting, laying on your bed, kicking your feet, bro? Make the calls. Like, that's how the Bulls are going to go in the right direction. But these guys just don't want to do anything, and I don't get it.
Chicago sports.
Chicago sports.
I feel like we're going to have have so many more crash outs the more we talk about it. But yeah, the Chicago Bulls, Chicago sports, down bad. Once again, though, thank you for joining this edition of the Red Zone. It's been a pleasure, as always, even though we're sad that football is gone. It's okay. We have plenty of sports to talk about every Thursday from 6 to 7. Thank you so much for joining us.